finally home. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can imagine the place God has in store for those who know Him. So says Apostle Paul here in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. You know, life is time. And the purpose of time is to prepare for eternity. We are presently living our dash. I'm sure you're familiar with the poem. Between birth and death, there's that dash piece that's there. And that's currently where we're at in our journey. Think of it. Heaven is our life's end, and yet our journey's goal. And I find everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. We are focused on our eternal realities here in this new worship series we're calling A Field of Dreams. And having celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ, now we ponder our own. And I have to say to you that when I was a younger man, I never thought about such things. But the older I get, the quicker the days move on, the years clip by, all of a sudden you start thinking about such things, don't you? Today we find this wonderful text as a comfort to us. And just think of it. Heaven is our life's end and our journey's goal. It's the reason for us to go on. It's the rich repository of everything, every spiritual investment that we make down here on earth. The fact is, very few of us think about our heart's home, even though ultimately it's the bottom line for why we're here. And I tell you, there's a lot about heaven we don't know. In fact, probably God has just given us some appetizers here out of His Word to give us some comfort and to give us some peace beyond this life as we know it. Now, a lot of us have misconceptions about what heaven is all about. I hear it all the time. And in fact, maybe it's because of some of the glimpses we get here in such places as Revelation, all this imagery and sights and sounds like the streets of gold and the gates of pearl and the rainbow thrones and the sea of glass. Unless you're into cosmetic jewelry, that's not too inviting, is it? And I used to get hung up on some of this imagery, and then I realized just its symbolic nature of a place far better that's out of this world. And Paul says here, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can even imagine what God has prepared for those who love Him. And this is what we really want to know about anyway, isn't it? I've had several people recently in the church say, you know, I'm reading a book on heaven. What is this place going to be like? Pastor, sometime can you talk about heaven? The Bible says that heaven is a mystery. And in fact, part of it is we just don't have the mental capacity to wrap our minds around this kind of concept. We live in a three-dimensional world. We live in a planet that rotates around the sun and has a 24-hour rotation. And so we just kind of have this concept of time. But if we're not living on this planet, you don't have that same concept of time if you're out in space somewhere. I love the book of Job, and right there in the middle of all that suffering, that wonderful book out of the Old Testament in Job chapter 11, he said, can you understand the mystery surrounding God Almighty? They are higher than the heavens and deeper than the grave, and so what can you do when you know so little and these mysteries outreach the earth and the ocean? Now, I grew up on the banks of the Ohio River, just a little bit upstream at a place called West Virginia. And I can remember one day after school, mom and dad coming back and saying, son, we're going to go on a vacation to Florida. And dad started talking to me about this place known as Disney World. And you know, he was wasting his time. Because when I got there, you know, he couldn't have even described it. All these life-size characters running around, all these rides, the lights and sounds and fireworks. I'm like, as a little kid seeing it for the first time, you're like, this is heaven on earth. And after you've been there the 100th time, you're like, well, it's a small world after all, isn't it? But the very first time you see it, you're just like, you just can't believe it. There's some things in life that you just can't describe. Like when we had our three children, and that baby was laid in your arms. And of course, I'm the father, and I'm there, and I had my own feelings, but my wife, Kelly, also had her feelings, which she couldn't really describe as she had carried those children all that time. There are some experiences that you just have to experience for yourself. Paul says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. No mind can imagine what this place is going to be like that God has in store for those who love him. And although music has been written, songs have been sung, painters and artists have done their best to portray this incredible place, nothing can really begin to describe what heaven is going to be like. The truth is, there's nothing on earth that compares to it. We're poor imitation. We're just a Xerox copy. Just an imitation of something that's to come that's even going to be greater and better, more fulfilling, more beautiful than this world. Now, I know many of you are like me, and I've got a very fertile imagination. I've been accused of such. I've got a vivid imagination, and you can conjure up all kinds of images when you begin to think about this place called heaven. And so all we can do, perhaps, is to take our top 5 or 10 peak experiences that we've had in this life and kind of roll them all up into one and say, well, this must be something like what it's going to be like. There's a lot of misconceptions out there about heaven. Some people believe that we're going to be floating around on a white cloud with a pair of wings playing a harp. That would make me not want to go to heaven. Even though I love harp music. Some people think we're going to be little chubby cherubs. All kinds of wonderful images, and I just don't see it as I read the Bible. I think we've been given appetizers and not the full meal from our Lord. Not something that is fully satisfactory that we can have a firm understanding of what this place is that he talks about. But I do think we have satisfaction when we hear those wonderful words of Jesus saying, friends, I got this. Don't worry about it. Let not your hearts be troubled. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. What's heaven going to be like? I want to give you at least 5 things, just broadly speaking today, at least the Bible speaks about, as what's not going to be in heaven. And the first one is that there's not going to be any sickness there. According to the Bible I read, everything the Bible says in the heavens has a body, and so does everything on earth, but each one is very different. These earthly bodies will die, but the bodies that are raised will live forever. And our ugly, weak bodies will become beautiful and strong. The Bible says there won't be any sickness in heaven, that you're going to get a new body. Not only that, the Bible says there's not going to be any sadness. In fact, in Revelation 21 and 4, God will wipe away every tear from their eye. Did you know that the Bible suggests that God has stored up every tear that's ever fallen? In fact, in Psalm 56 and verse 8, it says as such, God cares so much about you and your pain and your heartache and your suffering. But when you get to heaven, there's not going to be any more of that. It'll be a thing of the past. sadness and sickness will pass away. And not only that, the Bible says there'll be no more suffering. In fact, no more hunger, no more thirst, no more scorching heat. It was Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, there out of the 19th century, that great London preacher who said, I don't know what kind of handkerchief God is going to use in that day, but the Bible says there is not going to be another tear shed. No more suffering, no more canes and crutches, no more handicap parking spaces, no more prescriptions to fill and pharmacies to visit and rehab centers to go to. And not only that, the Bible says there's not going to be sin, for it says nothing that will defile it will ever enter into it. God will bring you into this glorious presence, innocent of all sin, with great joy. Heaven is a perfect place. Now, I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect, but I'm glad in that day that all of our hang-ups and bad habits are going to give away, because the Bible says that we are going to become like Christ in Philippians 3. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the moment that I no longer have those bad habits and those hang-ups. Sometimes I'm not a very nice guy to be with. Probably you'd say the same about yourself. But one of these days, it's all going to be a different reality. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to not have any more guilt or resentment or fear or worry in life? No bitterness or anger or envy or jealousy or loneliness. We'll have completeness. And finally, the Bible says there'll be no more death. Immortality will be a thing of the past, for there shall be nothing there that will die. Those who are living today in chronic pain, I got to tell you, that's good news. For those of you who have suffered for so long, it's good news. You say, well, what should I do as a disciple in the meantime? I want to give you three takeaways from this that you can think about. The one thing is that you should remember here in this time in which you're living your dash, don't be distracted by temptation. It is so easy in this instantaneous society, in this self-gratification kind of world in which we live, where everybody wants everything fast. Fast food, fast service, fast internet. Everything has got to be instant right now. I got to be pleased right now and feel good. But I want to tell you, this dash is not very long in the scheme of time. And we should not allow ourselves to be distracted by temptation. Remember, you're just passing through, and so don't let those baubles and bangles and that sinful kind of thing catch you off guard. In fact, that's what the writers of the Bible said. For Peter says, we're only visitors here on earth. Since your real home is in heaven, he writes, keep away from the evil pleasures of this world. They're not for you. They fight against your very soul. A second thing that you ought to be doing in this season in which you find that you're living your dash is don't be discouraged by trouble. Think of it. Don't be discouraged by trouble. When you live in the light of eternity, when you live in the light of heaven, trouble just doesn't bother you as much anymore when you think of it the right way. When I'm having a rough day, I just sat back in my seat and I watch the screensavers go by, and I've got a screensaver shot that's got this piece of granite with the Hebrews letters kind of drilled into it. It says, this too shall pass. And you know, when we live our life realizing that what we experience is going to pass, it sheds a whole new light on things to come. And finally, I want to say to you, focus your energies on what will last. What will last? Paul says, I run toward the goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven. Are you running your life like that? You know, the great British theologian who was once an agnostic, even an atheist, came to faith as he was there on a bus in that area of London and UK, C.S. Lewis. In thinking about heaven, he said, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were the ones who thought most of the next world. And he went through talking about different ones, like the apostles themselves who were martyred. They set their foot. The conversion of the Roman Empire, the great people who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all of those that created those hospitals to take away pain and bring healing, they all left their mark on this earth precisely because their minds were so occupied with heaven. I wonder today if your mind is occupied with heaven. I say, let the thought of that heavenly place